Gracious Holy One, we thank you that creation will be at peace. For we acknowledge you as our Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Speak to our hearts, souls, and minds through the inspiration of your holy word. In Christ's name, amen. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage and let us read it together as the people of God from Proverbs 22, the first six verses. Let us prepare to read it together. And it's located, if you don't have your Bibles, on the back of your worship bulletin. As people of faith, let us read it now in unison. A good reputation is more desirable than great wealth, and favorable accepted more than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord created both of them. The prudent person sees trouble ahead and hides, but the naive continue on and suffer the consequences. The reward of humility is the fear of the Lord, along with wealth, honor, and life. Thorns and snares lies in the paths of the perverse person, but whoever is cautious strays away, far away from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you my sermon title for this morning, Active Faith. Active Faith. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me, Active Faith. Lindsay Smith wanted to create something that would remind people of faith to be motivated by exercising and working out. And so he created this new symbol that has really taken hold, entitled Active Faith, and with a symbol to remind us that we must take care of our bodies physically. But also we do know that we should have active faith as it relates to our spiritual lives. We've just concluded 21 days in the month of January. And I don't want to pass the mic around, but just want to ask, how are you doing on your New Year's resolutions? Do you still remember them? Have you measured up for the aspirations and the desires and goals that you have set or even not set? It is a clear reminder that the Bible reminds us that we must take care of our spiritual needs as well. For if you look at the book of James, chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, James chapter 2, you will notice that James says it this way, faith without work is what? Dead. We must continue to exercise our faith and put our faith into practice. What is faith? I'm glad you asked. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Based upon Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the first verse. Faith is forsaking all, I take him, Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior. Well, if you look at Proverbs 22, there is a verse in Proverbs that maybe you know immediately and that you have taught your children or grandchildren or teaching your children now. It is Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and the 6th verse. Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. That is perhaps a great familiar verse, but it's also a verse that we see lines up with Scripture and with the writer who is responsible for the majority of the Proverbs that we have in the Bible, Solomon. He is not the author of all of the Proverbs, but the majority of them, yes. He is the son of King David. He inherits the throne after his father, and so indeed, Solomon needed something that would represent his relationship with God. And he wanted God to grant one request, and that was for God to give him what? Wisdom. Wisdom. And so we have these proverbs that reminds us of how we can indeed have a strong relationship with God. Well, it was Oswald Chambers who came along and he said, as it relates to the wisdom books, the wisdom literature, as they call in the Bible, there are five books. And let me just give you this in a nutshell, if you like to write them down. He says that the book of Job teaches us how to suffer. The book of Psalms teaches us how to pray and to worship God. The book of Ecclesiastes teaches us how to enjoy life. The Songs of Solomon, or the book of Solomon, teaches us how to love. And lastly, the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs teaches us how to act. How to act. What is a proverb? Here's a definition if you like to write it down. Proverbs are short, wise sayings that help one to live a better life and connect with God. For us to connect with God, the God who loves us, the God who continues to bless us, the God who is gracious unto you and unto me. Proverbs remind us of these short sayings that are spiritual truths and that will help us and give us practical learning throughout our daily lives. But ultimately, these proverbs seek to connect us with God. Let me give you these three suggestions as it relates to reading the proverbs. And we just have a few more in the month of January. But suggestions for reading the book of Proverbs. Suggestion number one, be prayerful. Be prayerful to continue to pray and ask God to give you the spirit of discernment and wisdom to learn more about how to have a relationship with God and with others. Number two, make notes of verses or selections, which are so important. As God speaks to you through His Word, highlight that passage that you want to recall, that you want to remember, that you feel God is talking to me about now. And then lastly, remember that Jesus is the best illustration of God's wisdom. Jesus Christ is the best illustration of God's wisdom. You look at Proverbs 22 and you will see immediately. The writer shares that a good name, a good reputation is far more better, in the King James translation, far more better than silver and gold. He is reminding us here that a good name, when folks call our names, what do they immediately think about? Do they see us as a person they want to gravitate towards or that they want to back up from? A good name. A good name is the first fruit of character. When someone calls our name before we even speak a word, it identifies our character. And Proverbs remind us it is more important than silver and gold. Now look at the second verse of the 22nd chapter. The second verse of the 22nd chapter reminds us that it is God. God is the ruler over the rich and the poor. He made both. He is the creator. God doesn't say that one is above the other. He is the same God who continues to bless the rich and the poor. You look at the front cover of your, bless you, you look at the front cover of your bulletin, it says what? Missions. A mission. The gospel at work. We should represent God and carry out the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We are representatives of His gospel. And it is Christ who's depending upon you and me to represent Him. Now, if you look at the third verse and look again and let me read it closely. The prudent person sees trouble ahead and what? Hides. But the naive person does what? Yeah. Just continues and has to suffer the consequences. Do you remember in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus? And scripture lines this up, this verse. In the book of Exodus, in order for the death angel to pass over, one would place what? The sacrifice, the blood of an animal on the doorposts in order for the death angel to pass over. That's where we get that phrase and that word, the Passover. Well, no longer do we need to have the blood of an animal placed on the doorposts. Jesus Christ is now our representative. For what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ helps connect us with God. And thanks be to God, Jesus humbled himself, demonstrated humility. And we talked about it in Bible study on Wednesday night. But if you have your Bibles, look at Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 11. And you'll read these words, and I'm going to read them here as it relates to what Paul is saying to you and to me. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of humanity. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those things in heaven and of those things on the earth and of those things under the earth." And then Paul concluded, "And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Jesus Christ demonstrated humility. And look what God does with one who will subject themselves to humility. Verse 4, the 22nd chapter. It reminds us the reward of humility is to fear the Lord. And then it goes on. The writer says it reminds us that we will get wealth, honor, and life. It reminds us that we can stay in our lane, if you will, and be humble to God and allow God to exhort us. You look at the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, and Proverbs continue to inspire us and remind us how we should be connected with God, how we should continue to step out on faith, and we should actively make sure others know that we are Christians by our love, because we're willing to demonstrate our faith. Lenny Smith, as he shares this new example with the world, active faith, he even talks about how God will continue to bless us. But how does that work when we read the book of Proverbs and read any book in the Bible? What are the benefits? What are the benefits? Well, let me share three with you. Number one, it will benefit you. It will benefit you by reading and studying and meditating on God's word and receiving wisdom from God. It benefits you. But not only you as an individual, but then God takes it a step further. Look at the next point. It benefits the church, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. God's people coming together to worship him, to praise him, coming together as the people of God. When one hurts, all hurt. When one needs, all needs are provided. It is a clear reminder of Jesus when he shares in response to Peter. If you have your Bibles, look at Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 18th verse. It is Jesus who shares with Peter, upon this rock, upon the confession of your faith, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was there that Jesus, for the first time, dealt and coined that phrase that we know as church, the Greek word ekklesia, to remind his disciples that you are the called out group. You've been called in from the world to go back to the world and to share the gospel. It is mission at work to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what the church is called to be and called to do. Let me thank you for the many ways that you shared in our choir song and our youth participated in the Martin Luther King community celebration on Monday. But I'm reminded of a quote from Dr. King. Dr. King said, and I quote, "The church should not be the master or the slave of the state or the nation, but the church should be the conscience of the state or the nation." End of quote. He's reminding us that when a Christian is going forth in the world, we should be representatives of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we should represent him at all costs, in all places. And then finally, the world. The world. I don't know how many of you had the privilege to watch on Friday the inauguration. And it's always fascinating to me, and it's part of history, right before our eyes, of how one president, President Obama, leaves office and President Donald Trump comes into office. But also, I was just counting how many times that they would have prayers and how many times that they would have the Word of God, the Scriptures, to cover the new administration and our nation. And it backs up the quote from Dr. King, because we should be the conscience of the nation. Well, one passage of scripture that was cited by Reverend Paula White was from Proverbs, the 21st chapter and the first verse. Read that when you go home. It reminds us that even the nation needs to describe to God for wisdom. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. The hymnologist reminds us that we should give God the glory and God the praise, but we should be active participants because we've been called out by Jesus Christ, our Lord, to activate, to share our faith with the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.